Welcome to Behind the Numbers, the podcast keeps you updated football within the hobby. Season two is upon us. I have Ty on, of course, for season two, episode one. Really excited to talk football with Ty and how the preseason is going, checking in on those rookie quarterbacks that we're salivating to see in 2021 product, as well as just kind of talk about the top 100 list at NFL.com, has some interesting rankings we're going to go over, and we're going to talk about my NFL rookie report articles to be coming out here in about a week or so, kind of some surprises in terms of values in the list. But all in all, I'm just excited for 2020 season. Now, time for the show. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, season two, episode number one, episode 36 overall. Football's in the air, Ty, and I couldn't think of anybody else I want to talk to you about other than you, my man. So I have you here. How are you doing?
Well, thank you for having me, and congrats for making it through season one into season two. 36 episodes, dude, that is no joke. Well done.
I know. I still have that episode that you did, your 100th, and I was like, I just got to do 100 podcasts. It has to be a goal of mine to get there, because I remember you having Shani on for your 100th, and I was like, I need to do that. That's my goal. So we're going to at least get to 100 and see where we're at. That's the plan.
All right. Well, we got it on record now, so you're going to get to 100.
That's right. That's right. So we're full force. We're like about halfway through preseason. We're almost 2 weeks away from the Buccaneers blowing out the Cowboys on Thursday night, which will be the opening game on the 10th. And I can say that as a Cowboys fan, I'm a little worried about that game for Dallas, but how have you, just in general, before we get into some of the rookie quarterback stuff, Ty, have you seen much of the preseason? How are you feeling about the football in the air right now?
I've only watched highlights, to be honest. It's funny, if you were to like walk up on the street and say, hey, what's the NFL looking like right now? I'd be like, wait, it started? If I didn't catch right. A few headlines, it really has kind of come up. It snuck up on me. I don't know if maybe it's all the other hobby news right now, kind of distracting, or maybe I'm disconnected in Idaho here. I don't know. But with stats, though, I'm pretty excited. Look at these rookies, guys. These rookie quarterbacks are legit.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I really feel that it hasn't been televised as much, I feel, for preseason compared to other years. And maybe that's just I have streaming and stuff. So I have felt like I haven't watched as many full games because of that. But in general, I do think that, Ty, it's this year for football, it's exciting. I'm really excited for this season, too. I'm excited for this rookie quarterback class. I think it's going to be the better ones we've had in a long time. It's five deep and all five are playing pretty well. So I thought we'd just kind of start with that, how the rookie quarterbacks are doing here. So Lawrence just kind of finished up his night as we're recording right now. Had another decent night, but overall through two games of play for him, he's 20 of 32 for 184, no picks, a little bit of rushing yards, but not much, but just efficient, no mistakes, no like huge touchdowns for him, but he just kind of, you kind of say as advertised, but tonight was a little more dink and dunk. He's averaging about 4.5 yards per completion. So nothing huge tonight, but he's just kind of getting his feel for it. Trey Lance is a little bit of the opposite. Yep. He's 13 of 28 for 230 yards, three touchdowns, one pick, had an 82-yard touchdown in his first game. He's definitely shown some flashes, but then that kind of inconsistency is still there a bit. And it does seem that the 49ers are putting together goal line packages for him, even if he's not the starter. So he will be involved early, I think, one way or the other, which is kind of exciting for him. Going to Wilson. Wilson's very interesting to me because he's the one that gets the most negative press through Jets camp, through Jets beats writers, just saying, oh, no, we got another bust. And he's been really efficient, really impressive in his first two games. 15 of 20 for 191, two touchdowns and no picks. I mean, that's, you can't really ask for much more than that. I think he's probably been the most flawless in terms of stats so far. Agreed. And I'll round out these last two here, Ty, and then we'll kind of hash it out with them. Justin Fields, 23 for 39. So he's getting a lot of reps. He's getting a lot of attempts. They're definitely trying to expose him as much as they can to different situations. For 222, one touchdown. He's got 80 yards rushing in two games already. And that's, you know, that's pretty good because you're remembering he's not playing full games either. So he's doing about 40 yards a half. So that's a really attractive thing for fantasy owners, and that's attractive for us in the hobby. Did take one nasty hit against the Bills. Kind of looks like he called the wrong protection and he got whacked, but came back. He was, you know, got away from it. I think that's kind of good to me. Seeing a hit, taking a hit like that, you think about the other quarterbacks been drafted. They took that hit. How would they have took it in my mind? And to me, that kind of gives me that kind of Dak feel. Like Dak takes those kind of hits and learns from it. I hope that Fields learns from it, but definitely it was a scary hit. Helmet flew off. It was a pretty big one. And then lastly, Mac Jones has been really efficient as well. 26 for 38 for 233 and two touchdowns. Or excuse me, no touchdowns. He's just been very efficient, just a lot of yardage. So all five guys, there's no sour spot. That's really exciting as we get into the regular season. And I just think in general, that's pushes the envelope for the products of 2021. But how are you? What do you think about those five guys?
I completely agree. I mean, if I was to pick one out of those five that really impressed me so far, I would say Fields has been. Trevor Lawrence looks super composed. Even watching him tonight, like he just looks like an NFL quarterback. Like he's going to be out there and he's going to do his thing. And I mean, he's the guy that you should chase, of course. But Justin Fields just has that gamer. Something like, I feel like when he's in, the team believes in this guy. Right. And I love it. I love it. I mean, being in Chicago, it could be really fun to watch Justin Fields because those fans get behind him. It's going to be a good thing. Wilson, I mean, look, Zach Wilson, it's a no-win situation. I really do hope that he can carry the Wilson name strong. But it's the Jets, dude. It's the Jets. Yeah. It's just frustrating. Yeah. Like, no matter what they do, like, they don't give the guy a chance. And I'll give him benefit of the doubt here. He's kind of – He stood up in the face of all that adversity. He's played pretty well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's preseason, so and when things really get clamped on and they really have to ask on their players to perform, he doesn't have a lot around him, so that could definitely make things more difficult. I just think it's a good sign that he's producing at least a preseason level. It's a good sign. I think it's just nice that there's not – usually it kind of seems that there's one quarterback that just really struggles in preseason as a rookie, and all five of these guys – nobody can say that they're really struggling. And I think that's just kind of gives me a little bit of excitement to see what happens when the real lights are on. We haven't really ruled anybody out yet early, which I think is kind of important as we get closer and closer.
We know Mac Jones is not going to start. Right. I mean, although that the whole, like I'm misunderstanding about COVID protocols, it kind of seems a little fishy, almost like they're setting up to kind of maybe bench Cam Newton. That's the way I read into it.
Right.
But Mac Jones not starting would probably be better for his values for the, you know, for the short term, at least.
Yeah. I think again, he's another one that doesn't like when I did my AFC East report, if you go back a couple of my episodes, the AFC East they don't have a lot of specialty players. What I mean by that is, you know, a lot of running backs, receivers, and specifically the Jets and Patriots don't have a lot for help for those two guys.
Yeah.
They had some draft picks. The Jets brought in a receiver and a running back in the draft. And the Patriots, they just have a lot of mixed matched guys, and that's worked in the past when they had Brady, but can it work now? So I think that's going to be tough for a young quarterback not to have those type of weapons for sure. But yeah, and just kind of going through some preseason headlines, I think the other thing I just wanted to kind of mention, NFL.com does their top 100 players. It's always like a topic of discussion of how could they be there? How could they, you know, this guy be here? They're in the top 10 now, haven't been announced, but the one kind of, I think fascinating thing is that Russell Wilson dropped out of the top 10. And I think my question to you on that, I'm going to get to a couple other tidbit questions for the list, is how, based on his play last year, how do you think that Russell Wilson dropped in your mind? I mean, obviously you're not the person making the list, but do you think that's ridiculous? Do you think he's top 10 for sure? Or kind of your thoughts on him dropping out of the top 10?
I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, the guy was basically MVP contention the entire year to the last four games. I do not understand that. I'd be curious. I mean, who replaced him then in that list?
Right. We're going to have to see when we see that top 10. Definitely. Another big faller was Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson fell all the way to He was 24. He was number one last year. He fell down to 24. And then Kyler Murray down to 39 was kind of some surprising quarterback movements because some guys had dropped. You know, Lamar, I can see why. We've talked about the passing ability, but I think that 24, he's a much more valuable player than 24 guys in the league in terms of what he can do for the Ravens. I think that's a little bit far-fetched. I did find it interesting that DK Metcalf was 22 and AJ Brown was 50. What was AJ Brown?
Right.
AJ Brown was 62. Man, that's rough. Like, how are those two that far apart when they're same year? I think AJ Brown outperformed him last year. I had very interesting gaps in some of these. So it's kind of fun to pick these apart. You know, you got Baker Mayfield at 71, Tannehill's at 83. I thought one thing was really funny. Let's see if you, I'll just ask you. Josh Jacobs, did he move up or move down from last year?
So he's 68 now. I'm going to say he moved down.
He moved up four spots after being injured all last
year. Oh my goodness.
Wow. So yeah, there's a couple of interesting things on the top 100 list. So I thought I'd throw out there because it has a little bit of hobby pull in terms of guys' value and the perspective of NFL.com and some rankings. But very interesting list. Be interesting to see who's in that top 10. There might be some prizes. It might get some little bit of hobby love. So we'll see if that top 10 to come out when it does.
I think those lists are important too, because although the stats are great and those will drive the rankings a little bit, it also just shows kind of who the media favors. And that can be important when you're hoping to see a guy, or you know, there's stories about certain players. You know, I mean, Stephon Diggs is number 11. Like, that should tell you a whole lot about maybe going and grabbing some rookies. In fact, I got one a couple days ago at that shop in Idaho. Like that.
Yeah,
he's the number 11 player on the NFL.com's list. Like, you better go snag some Chrome rookies.
Absolutely, and he's been really cheap for a really long time. I mean, Shani and I talk about him in week 7. Being super cheap, and he ended up kept on his track, but he's a very undervalued receiver for sure. The only thing about him is he was just so hit and miss for a couple of years in Minnesota that his consistency kind of slowed him down. But now he's going with Allen. If they can do this for 3 or 4 years, like they did last year, he's going to be in really good shape long-term for sure. Some other just headlines, Wentz is back at practice already. So a lot of people weren't sure if he's going to be out, you know, that Lisfranc injury can be anywhere from 4 weeks to 12 weeks. It looks like he's going to be closer to four. They said he was cutting and doing some things this week. So that's really big. I think a lot of people are taking a deep breath about him already being injured. So it looks like he is on track for week one right now, which I think is huge for his cards. I think he's a big, a lot of people have a lot riding on Wentz thinking he's going to have a comeback here. So I think that's good for him to start week one for sure. What are your thoughts about Wentz and Indy?
I mean, the team's ready for him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a absolute make or break year, I think, for him and a couple of guys like Baker Mayfield. Like, these guys have to have pretty darn good years, or it's going to be nearly impossible for them to recover in the hobby, I think.
Yeah. One guy I was just going to mention is Jordan Love is injured, so he missed a preseason game, and some might not think that's important, and I'm going to rebuttal that. I think it's super important he's missing preseason games, because with Aaron Rodgers coming back to Green Bay, he's not going to see the field during the regular season, barring injury. He's missing a lot of reps right now, so his momentum in the offseason of Rodgers maybe being gone to being the starter, it just keeps trending down for him in terms of his development, which is really worrying me for him the long term. And then last thing, Dak's still not throwing. He's not quite 100% yet from his – he had kind of basically a shoulder strain. Everything's saying no worry, but still have to be a little bit concerned that he's 100% healthy coming into week one as well. So
for sure. Well, Jordan Love is back today. He came back to practice. I saw that. So that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, worried about Dak.
Yeah, I just want to see Love in action, just see what he can do a little bit actually on the field, to see if there's anything that people can feel good about, because he hasn't shown much yet, and the practice reports have been very mixed. So we're kind of move on. Just Donruss is coming out on September 8th. Super excited about that. The first flagship product for 2021. We've kind of, I don't want to say exhausted, that sounds negative, but we've kind of exhausted the draft pick products. They've mostly come and gone. I just feel, Ty, that Donruss is one that I'm probably going to oppress a bit. I might actually go to the retail shopping more than I should, and I'm going to be looking for that much more, because I feel like it's going to be the product that's going to be in the price range I can actually enjoy it and have fun with it. The pre-sale of some of the hobby boxes for Donruss is making me a little bit worried. So to me, it's going to be retail all the way, and just try to enjoy it, because I think it's going to be a great flagship product with a lot of, you know, you got five great quarterbacks, you got two or three great receivers, and you have two to three good running backs. And I just think that this class is going to be a fun one. So how are you playing Donruss?
It'll be retail for me. There's no way you get me to pay. I think the going rate now is $330 to $350 for a hobby box. That is too expensive. The hybrid H2 is what, $150-ish?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I just remember the hobby that's $335. Yeah.
And that's the fact that we're talking about a $335 flagship Donruss football box pre-release is just mind blowing to me.
Yeah. I think so too, because I remember last year you and I talking about Donruss. You told me, I'm going to get a bunch of the cheap Donruss. I'll help you out and give you some. And I was ecstatic. And that was actually really nice. You look at that now, that was not a easy product anymore, right? The Donruss was a very desirable product for people now. And so I think it's just crazy how quickly it's turned to the paper, don't care too much. A lot of it to everybody. Donruss is pretty hot right now. It's people are looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing to note, a lot of folks on the retail side that I know got cut pretty significantly. I shouldn't say cut. They got allocated very strongly on Donruss football. They went into the season thinking they were going to get a pretty good chunk of Donruss based on last year's orders, and they did not. Right. So just kind of keep that in mind. Retail could be surprisingly stronger than you think because of the allocations.
Do you think, because that product kind of started to have an uptick in value of the cards and so it's getting more demand, so the allocations are getting cut, or what in your mind, just maybe you want to expand that just a little bit for listeners in terms of why you think the allocations are getting cut on it?
I do think there's a little bit of that for sure. I mean, distributors are trying to spread the wealth and you know, bigger customers are coming in, and there's obviously influence and, you know, money talks, but there's also been a legitimate issue with printers. They're word on the street was that there was some stuff happening at Panini that kind of slowed things down considerably. And so I think that maybe that's going to, you know, affect not just Donruss, but some other products as well. I feel like we keep hearing that. I'd love for Panini to address that, although they're not going to address that. And I mean, look, they're spreading it out though. They're going to have all kinds of different SKUs for you to enjoy with Donruss. So there's always that.
Right.
Who knows what Panini is doing, right? They could be selling a lot more direct through other channels as well.
Definitely. But I'm looking forward to the retail, the value packs, the blasters, the hangers. I think that that's kind of the route that I'll probably be going for sure. Like you said, that 330 to 360 hobby box with one, what is a one? It's a one auto or relic, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
insane.
That's too much for a Donruss product, but yeah. And just kind of moving on to speaking of flagship. So I will be coming out with, similar to my baseball articles, my rookie reports I put together, I will be coming out with a football one. I will just say within the week. I have all the data done to put the content together, but I thought we'd just kind of tease that out a bit and talk about some surprises in the list. Some guys outside of the top 20 that I'm going to be watching pretty closely during the season and buying. But my rookie report surprises, and I'll go through a couple here, Ty, and then you're welcome to throw yours in. I'll just run through my five and you can throw out as many as you'd like. I thought I was very surprised that Derrick Henry is going for double of CMC right now. Derrick Henry's hitting the 600 mark and CMC's right around 300. I think it's, Derrick Henry is built to do it for long term. We've talked about that. I just think double is quite extreme. He's being respected pretty high, Derrick Henry at $600. He's above quite a few quarterbacks that I didn't think he'd be above. So it's very interesting for me to see him there. My other point, Stafford's equal to Rodgers. They're about both around $900 right now. I think that's incredible based on what Rodgers has done, and everybody's a lot of hype on Stafford, what he can do this year. Kyler's still too low, 15th quarterback on the list. I'm really surprised he's that far down on the starting quarterbacks in the league. AJ Brown's the 15th receiver, which is shocking. So similar to the top 100 thing, he's much lower than I imagine. He's much lower in cards right now as well. Because the reason I'm saying that is because in dynasty football, he's some people's number one dynasty receiver right now. And so he just, the variance in his hobby and actual kind of the fantasy love is quite interesting. And then the last kind of tidbit I had for surprises was Nick Chubb, the third highest running back. I know Nick Chubb's, we've all seen he can do it. He hasn't quite done it for a full season yet. And he's kind of in that tandem backfield. But just seeing him already kind of establish himself at the third on the list, I was quite surprised that he was the next guy after McCaffrey. So do you want to comment any of that stuff, or what kind of surprises from that info I have there did you find?
Oh my gosh, there's so many good takeaways here. Like if you offer me one Derrick Henry PSA 10 prism or one of each Chubb, Zeke, Saquon, or Dalvin Cook, like I would take those three to heartbeat, right? Yeah. Derrick Henry is either way overpriced or everyone else is way underpriced. And I would say Derrick Henry is probably way overpriced, but that really surprised me. I think Saquon's super cheap there. I think Zeke is super cheap. I mean, everybody else, I would just kind of wait and see. Even Kamara, right? I mean,
yeah, I think Kamara.
When you have that big net with Derrick Henry, it's hard to justify that price.
100%.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. AJ Brown. DK, I mean, DK Metcalf is $180, but AJ Brown $130. When you know, Devontae Adams is $350. Yeah. Heck no. Absolutely yeah. not. I'm still surprised Julio Jones gets the love that he gets too. Like, I think he was in the top, you know, 20 or 30 in the NFL, you know, 100 list. And here he is in the top five receiver values. I mean, the guy has not done that much in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's been injured quite a bit. I think people are still, he still have had that status because when he's in, he's dominant. But the injuries have slowed him down considerably for sure. Well, it'd be really interesting to see how this Titans chapter goes. Is this where the wheels start to come off, or is this, or has he got another run in him? I think that'll be important for his long-term, his value in cards. But definitely, and Julio's is also, because he's probably tied, he's probably actually, because his pop report on those Chrome I need to get, but I think they're a little bit higher than like the Prism stuff. So he's also got a higher pop. So he actually has quite a bit of love in that regard, I guess, because his pop's a little bit higher and the value's holding pretty good. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, but if we're offered right now, you know, three PSA 10 rookies of Odell Beckham Jr. or one of Julio Jones, I mean, what are you taking?
Probably Julio for me, because I just don't think Odell's ever going to get back to anything substantial. Wow. I get your point. But I mean, like, I would take, you know, if I go down to that similar, I might take three Ridleys. You know, I might take somewhere in that range. Like, that's because Ridley's going to get a lot of volume. He's a number one guy in Atlanta now. So I just think that could be something you could do. Even maybe like, you know, Cooper Kupp. If Cooper Kupp really is going with Stafford, make two of those. But yeah, just in general, I think that Julio, this year is big for his legacy. I think that I could say that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the good thing is, and people sometimes forget, if you grab some of those guys near the bottom of the list, there's such low pop reports. When they do have a couple good games, you're going to be able to get, you're going to command a much higher price than you would if someone else, you know, like, Travis Kelce or Julio Jones with larger pop reports, if they had big couple games, you can really stretch your dollar pretty good with some of those low end picks.
And I'd even say that some of these guys on the list, if you don't have them graded, there's still a lot of value there in the raw game. I had a couple of Joe Mixons that just sold because he's getting a little more steam again, and he doesn't have a lot graded, so people are just going to the raw star stock A's or, you know, different ideas like that for the raw carts. So definitely the raw game gets you a good little bump as well if they start to get a little momentum. So
for sure.
Any other surprises from that list that you want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, you start to look at the, you know, last year's class in 2019. You already mentioned Kyler Murray. I totally agree. I think he's completely undervalued. I think this is a breakout year for Kyler. We'll talk about that some other time. But, you know, you can grab two Kylers or one Justin Herbert right now. Like, I should probably take a couple of Kylers, even though I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. But, right. I mean, look, Drew Locke just sitting there staring at everybody in the eyes saying, come get me for $100. How can you not buy that guy for $100?
Right, and he's actually been rising a little bit. He was like 60 for a bit, so he's come up to 100 now. Yeah. It looks like he's going to start, but I mean, the only thing to scare with him right now is that people are concerned about Teddy Bridgewater. If Teddy Bridgewater is going to, you know, they're going to go back to him and just play it safe in Denver and try to win some games. But yeah, I mean, if they have any chance, I think, to compete in the division, it's going to have to be with Locke, because we kind of saw last year with Carolina what Bridgewater's ceiling was, and it was quite low.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
And I say that somewhat facetiously, obviously, because I'm a big Drew Locke fan, but, I mean, there's a ton of upside. I mean, obviously, he's up 40% in 3 weeks. So,
absolutely.
Got a large pop report, though.
For sure. And then I was going to mention some guys that are outside, that will be outside the top 20 article, that I think are guys that I'm looking to buy, whether it's raw or just guys that I feel that are going to climb in terms of their status. Jonathan Taylor, I've been talking about him for a long time. I just think that the value is there. He's at 130 for his PSA 10 right now. And I legitimately think, and me, even with the extra game going in my favor that with the season now, I really think that if they commit to him, like, I think that he can take the load that we've seen in Wisconsin. He 2K is possible. I know that sounds crazy, but I think 2,000 yards could be possible if Wentz can keep the defense honest in the passing game. I think that he can do that. He had 900 yards in the last four games, I believe, or five games. So it's definitely a possibility with him. So he's a guy that I'm pretty high on in terms of the guys that are outside the top 20 in value. Same class, J.K. Dobbins. I think the Ravens are going to go all in terms of just, he's finally going to be the guy. There's no Ingram. It's him and Gus Edwards, but I just think that Dobbins is finally going to get the workload we've been waiting to see. And we know that if you have a running quarterback, it really helps you in the running game. And him and Lamar, I think, will be pretty dangerous in the backfield together. Darnold, yep. I'm going to keep trying for Darnold. I just think that new offense is going to be good for him. Sounds like he's been doing what Carolina hoped he'd do. He's got the weapons, DJ Moore, the CMC healthy. They're in good position, I think, for him to do some good things. Chase Claypool was way cheaper than I thought he'd be. He's down to 76.
Agreed.
And I just think that he's the closest to the next guy on my list in terms of what he can do with his size and speed. So I think Chase Claypool was a great buy at 76 if the Steelers go on a run like they did last year. I mean, remember, they were undefeated for 13 games last year. So they're still a really good team. And then lastly, DK Metcalf, he's the most expensive guy on my list. He's going for 180 right now, but I still think he is, I still think that he can be a top receiver. He can get up to there where those other guys are in terms of, I think to me, like the cap for a guy, like we saw Michael Thomas hitting 350 in the preseason last year. We see what he's done. He's definitely unraveled as a player. I think 350 is where I kind of see that current non Hall of Fame top receiver can kind of level out to 350. And I think that DK can get there. So it's kind of my guys that I'm looking for.
That's a really good frame of reference. That's a good way to look at it too. Just kind of knowing where, what could potentially be the ceiling outside of like, you know, a historic season, you know, 350. That's good to know. Cause you're any of those guys, right? Of the guys that could potentially have just ridiculous seasons, like DK Metcalf's obviously one of them. I'll take 2X my money on some PSA 10s and I like DK Metcalf anyway. So, those are all great picks. I'm not as big a fan as Sam Darnold. I think that train's been it's been long gone. But I mean, shoot, give me Justin Fields for $0 and Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence for $0. Those are the highest returns you're going to get.
Yes.
So, but seriously, we already talked about it. Kyler, I think, is outstanding play here at 385. I get it. He's small, but I just think he's figured it out. And Josh Jacobs for $55.
Yeah,
sign me up.
He's rock bottom. Yeah, he needs to stay healthy if he wants that to move. But yeah, he's definitely low. I was like surprised. One surprising one I didn't put on there, but Brandon Ayuk, he's up there pretty healthy. What was he at two? Where was he on that list there? He's at the highest.
$200.
Yeah, $200. First couple sales, so it's kind of the inflated first ones you see. But he's getting a lot of love in the dynasty football world as well. So he's one to watch and just kind of see if he can live up to that type of hype there. So, yeah, cool. So that's just a little teaser for the rookie report. Like again, it'll probably be out within a week or so. We'll touch that up and have a nice, good list for you guys with the pop reports and everything of those guys, so we can kind of see who's also rare. I do know that Lamar Jackson has a really bad pop rate in terms of his cards don't 10 often. So stuff like that's good for you know as the investor if you're trying to buy the cards in terms of the rarity. Just kind of in closing, I just want to talk about again season two. So a couple changes. We're going to go twice a week this season. I'm going to try to keep it to about 25 minutes like we are here. I'm also bringing on, you know, I want to tell kind of the funny story here. You actually were interacting with my friend today, Ty, on Twitter. Rob Kent, he runs a new podcast that's called the Flagship Baseball Podcast. You can find it on iTunes. And
yeah.
I texted him. I was like, hey, man, who does all that intro like stuff? Because he has this like really like a woman's voice, like a British accent that just like reads this stuff about, you know, war and all these things. I mean, that's just awesome. How do you do that? Cause I don't like my sound of my voice for the intros. He's like, oh, that's my wife. She's a professional voice recorder. And I was like, oh, so you're telling me that's not on the table. So, but anyway, check out his podcast. It's a great job. But the reason I said that story is that I'm going to utilize my wife's expertise in terms of sports medicine. She's got a PhD in sports medicine research. She's going to help us out with injuries this year. So one of our guys, the cards get injured, I'm going to bring her on and kind of give you the panic or no panic kind Love of direction it. In terms of how we'll approach injuries. So I'm pretty excited to include my wife in this season.
That is going to be super fun. And I know you and I have talked about structuring just the post alongside your episode two to kind of give folks data in writing at the time of release. And I'm going to help with that. So I'm looking forward to, this is going to be a killer season for you guys, man.
Yeah. Perfect. I'm excited too. And the last segment we are going to ask, that's going to, you know, again, follow me on Twitter at numbers_behind. I'm going to add a vintage card spotlight on our second show of the week, where I'm going to put up any listeners' vintage card they want to share. We're going to talk about the year, talk about the value, just talk about the card in general, just kind of get into that vintage a bit, because I do appreciate the vintage cards. And I'm going to open it up with a Joe Namath on the next show. So I'm excited Sweet. To kind of show that one and talk about that. But so definitely submit pictures of vintage cards to me, and I'll choose your card and we'll talk about it and mention you and have a good time with it. So kind of a couple segments I'm looking forward to adding to the show. Love the show. It's a fun show for me, talking about football and kind of what I love. So that's where we're going.
Beautiful. Good stuff, man. Well, thanks for having me on the first show. I'm excited to watch the next couple of weeks. It's going to be exciting.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for being on, Ty.
All right, Tyson. See ya.